Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. Lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will head out west to Denver, Colorado to take a closer look at this week's opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs. But before we get to all of the sports talking, call number 6 to 913-576-7610. You win a 16-inch specialty pizza from the other place. Caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. You win a 16-inch specialty pizza from my good friends over at the other place. Again, you're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Carrington here, Sean here, Rob here. How you guys doing today?
What's up? It still boggles my mind. Like, I understand if you don't love Topeka. I understand if you don't love Council Bluffs, Iowa, which you've talked smack on both on. Denver doesn't make any sense to me. Denver, to me, is easily a top 10 city in this country.
No, Denver's a fantastic place in the summer. It's not really a place I would want to spend a whole lot of time at this part of the calendar.
Oh, it's better in the wintertime.
Denver is a fantastic place. That's where we're going to start today's show. I want to play for you guys what Drew Locke had to say about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, without a doubt. It's apparent. It's been said. Shoot, I probably had it told to me 3 or 4 times today, and we don't even get to be around each other. You know, we're doing all the virtual stuff. You hear it through virtual meetings, and it's being said. Be nice to maybe snap that streak, but it's definitely a known thing, and we're excited about given that opportunity to be able to stop that.
So the Denver Broncos have not beaten the Kansas City Chiefs since the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl back in 2015. And I think that this rivalry needs Drew Locke to be good. If you think about the times in which Chiefs fans have hated the Broncos the most, they've always had that villain figure at quarterback back in the 90s when John Elway used to absolutely terrorize the Kansas City Chiefs. You had that villain quarterback to root against in the 2010s with Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. You remember, Kansas City wanted to get a visit from Peyton Manning. He wouldn't visit. He then goes to the Denver Broncos, goes to 2 Super Bowls, and the Broncos win one, and they were a thorn in Kansas City's side. It would certainly be good if you had that next villain. And think about it. This would be a very unique villain. We're talking about somebody born and raised in the Kansas City area and went to the University of Missouri. I don't care how good Drew Locke is or how much rap songs he listened to. Sean, you will never love Drew Locke. You will never appreciate Drew Locke because he went to Missouri. That's what this rivalry needs. Obviously, this rivalry needs the Broncos to be a lot better and to get back to where they've been at various points in their organization's history. But what this rivalry really needs is a villain on the other side. That's when this rivalry has been at its absolute best.
Drew Locke's a weird one for me because he's a local kid, so he grew up in the backyard, and then he went to MU, and now he plays for the Broncos, the team that I've always rooted against. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with Drew Locke. I don't root against him openly like I do most MU players. In fact, I hope he's good for a lot of the reasons that you said. It'd be really good for us. It'd be really good for the city. It'd be really good for the Chiefs. Can you imagine if Drew Locke turns out to be, let's say, over the next 5 or 10 years, a top 5 or 10 quarterback? We all think Patrick Mahomes is going to be at the top of that list. All of a sudden, it makes the AFC West, I don't want to say it's been boring, but the Chiefs have been very dominant for a long time. I mean, literally, the Raiders and the Broncos haven't won this division in a decade. Over the last 10 years, it's been either the Chiefs or the Broncos. So, yeah, it would be a good thing. The more good quarterbacks bring Justin Herbert into the equation, all those different things. It's just, I don't know that it's Drew Lock or just anybody at the quarterback position for Denver, because since Peyton Manning, here's guys that have taken a snap as a starting quarterback for the Broncos. Take a seat. Brett Rippon, Jeff Driskel, Drew Lock, Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, Case Keenum, Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. I mean, I don't know if it's just we need for the Chiefs to have a rivalry with the Broncos again. They need Drew Lock to be good. The Broncos just have to figure it out at quarterback at some point.
I'm with you, but I think this rivalry, and I would say the division, really needs that villain. I expect Kansas City is going to be the villain for every other city. If you're Vegas, you're trying to figure out how to beat Mahomes, Los Angeles, and Denver. Like, you're going to look at Mahomes as he's going to do to the Broncos with a left-handed touchdown more times than not. They're going to play a C-plus game on the road against the Chargers and still find a way for Harrison Butker to make a 58-yard kick at the end. Like, Mahomes is the Elway figure. He is the dominant figure that looks down on the rest of the division. He's the Peyton Manning. So I'm curious to see who those challengers are going to be in the division. And I look at Drew Lock, like, I think Lock has a chance, and Denver with their fan base, they have a chance to actually get a visceral reaction. Like, I think that Herbert has a chance to be a star, but there ain't no Chargers fans. There's nobody to go back and forth with. And part of what makes a rivalry good is the back and forth. It's the opposing fan bases. It's the trash talk. It's the sports talk radio. It's all the things that sort of build up and hype a rivalry. If Denver becomes a 10-11 win team, let's say they become the Buffalo Bills, that's going to be a game that you circle, not just because of history, but because it has real implications in the division.
Yeah, and I said yesterday, it's going to be really fun for the Chiefs fans to look in their rearview mirror over the next decade and watch the Broncos and whoever it is, the Raiders or the Chargers, battle it out for second place. If you made me pick right now, I would say the upside of Justin Herbert is more than Drew Lock. But the truth is, with both these guys, and kind of like we always talk about the AFC, we're trying to figure out who Pat's adversary is going to be, because Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were there for so long. It's got to be somebody, and it's got to be somebody in the division. He's played 8 games. Like, I honestly don't think we know anything about Drew Lock. Now, he's been good against everybody except for the Chiefs. In fact, I think that games that he started and finished, he's beat everybody except for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the truth is, with both those guys, they've gotten off to a good start. You could say that they've overachieved early on, but we don't know anything about either one of those dudes.
Yeah, but I do think we do know enough to say this. I feel pretty strong that Justin Herbert's going to last his rookie contract with the Chargers. Now, is he somebody who's going to warrant one of those big, massive second deals?
Who knows?
We haven't really seen a whole lot.
Knows?
I'm not sure if Drew Lock's going to be there at the end of this deal. It hasn't gotten off to a dynamite start. He had a good rookie season. Injuries have sort of done it. We had a guest on, Ryan Harris, and he talked about how one more injury sort of puts you in that Sam Bradford category where you're an injury-riddled quarterback. I've seen enough from Herbert to say that's good, that I feel pretty strongly he's going to be there, and now it comes down to, is he going to develop? Is Herbert going to continue to grow? Are they going to continue to put parts around him where Herbert has a chance to be a star? With Drew Lock, it is still a 50-50 proposition in 2023 if he's going to be the quarterback of the team. I'd be stunned if Herbert wasn't the quarterback in 3 years.
Yeah, and at some point, and I know it feels like John Elway's got a lifetime contract out there, but he's got to get the right quarterback. You can't just keep resting on the fact that Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl there, because it's not like you went out and recruited heavily. Peyton Manning chose to come play for the Broncos. He thought it was the best situation with a top five, probably all-time defense, and he was right about that. Also, part of the reason I think that certain guys get a longer leash is where you were drafted. Like, you're right. In the case of Justin Herbert, what was he, the number 6, number 5 overall pick, whatever it was? Guys like that get chances. Baker Mayfield will continue to get chances because he was the top pick. You can always look back at Drew Lock and say, yeah, but he wasn't that blue chip prospect, wasn't a first round pick. Everybody passed up on him. So he's going to have to achieve earlier, because the truth is, guys like that don't get as many chances.
913-576-7610. I don't want a rival in the division. I want to play in the equivalent of the AFC East like the Patriots had. I want to always be in position to get the one seed. I think you're always going to be in position to get the one seed as long as Pat and Andy Reid are working together. The big reason why it looks like it could be that way in the AFC West is there's a lot of instability at the quarterback position everywhere else but the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see what happens with the Chargers. I feel strongly they're going to have the same quarterback in 5 years. You couldn't really say that about the Bills or the Dolphins or the Jets while Brady was there. Let's see what happens with the Denver Broncos. Let's see what happens with the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's see what happens with Derek Carr. He is essentially potentially playing on 3 1-year contracts. Like right now, the reason we look at the division the way that it is because the two biggest advantages continue to be the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs and the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you talk about that gap that exists between the Chiefs and everybody else. You can't have a bigger gap right now than where Mahomes sits and where the other quarterbacks sit. You can't have a bigger gap than where the coach sits and the other teams in the AFC West sit. That's the thing that needs to change the most. We will continue to disregard these games in the division as long as the Chiefs have the best quarterback, and then the next best quarterback is the 14th best quarterback in the league. We will always be in the same place when it comes to games in the division.
No question. And to that texter's point, I think you might get both. I think you might get a little bit of a push the next 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't be surprised if we talk about the Broncos as a 10 or 11 win team, or if we start talking about the Chargers as an 11 or 10 win, something like that. I don't think they're going to catch the Chiefs. Like, I think that the Chiefs going forward, at least on the horizon, because they got all these guys under contract. We're not talking about what could be and what should be. If you think about it, we really know, knock on wood, assuming that injuries don't take over, that you're going to have the quarterback. You're going to have Tyreek Hill. You're going to have the tight end, Travis Kelce. All these guys on the defensive side, you've got them locked into contracts. So, like you just said, these teams are chasing the Chiefs, and they're pretty far away, but I think you can have both. I think that you can have the Broncos a couple of years from now be an 11-5 team, and the Chiefs are still 13-3.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to what I think is the biggest question in Sunday's game against the Broncos. Speaking of the Broncos, we'll head out west and be joined by Andy Lindahl with Altitude 950 in Denver, Colorado, to take a closer look at the Chiefs' opponent this week, the Denver Broncos. That's all next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2-6.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to what I think the biggest question for the Chiefs on Sunday is against the Broncos. But let's take a closer look at the Chiefs' upcoming opponent with Andy Lindahl. He covers the Broncos for Altitude 950 in Denver, Colorado. Andy, how's the weather out there?
Well, today it's chilly. Tomorrow it's supposed to be warm, and then we're supposed to have freezing and some snow Sunday. So I guess we'll see.
Sounds absolutely miserable. Andy, let's start here. From looking at the injury report, it seems like this could be the healthiest that the Broncos have been at any point this season.
Yeah, especially if they get A.J. Boye back in the mix. He's not been seen since the first quarter of their game against Tennessee on Monday night to open the season. So that's a guy that would be really huge, especially with your offense rolling in here the way that it is. Noah Fant should be back. We'll see about KJ Hamler. He's been Mr. Hamstring injury since about the second week of camp. So if he can make it through a whole game, that'll be good. But wait and see there. But the Broncos are starting to get some guys back. There's some guys they'd love to have back that aren't coming back. But this will be, hopefully, if they get Mark Barron back, the linebacker they signed formerly of the Steelers, next week, then that will be the healthiest officially they've been.
Andy, take us through last week's game, because I know it's not the Patriots of old, but still going on the road, beating that team with Cam Newton, that's an impressive win.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, Broncos, unfortunately, the way they played the last few years, you're not taking away anything from any road win that they get. In fairness, the Patriots are dealing with a whole bunch of offensive line things because of COVID. They shuffled it the morning of the game. They lost a guy during the game. So the Broncos were able to kind of employ that blitzkrieg attack that they really we weren't used to seeing out of Vic Fangio, but they did it against the Patriots and the Jets. I think they know they cannot do that against the Kansas City Chiefs, or the score is going to run up like a Madden game. So I don't think they'll probably take that same approach this week. But it was nice to see them do some good things on the road against the Patriots, in particular get some turnovers, get some sacks. The offense didn't have its best day. It really did struggle in the red zone. It wasn't all Drew Locke. The box score may tell you he didn't have a good day. He actually threw the ball pretty well. A bunch of receivers dropped the ball and let him down. So they're hoping they can at least get that kind of fixed, because obviously kicking, what, 6 field goals isn't going to get it done against the Chiefs. So
it feels like from the outside, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that this team feels a lot more confident, like they can actually win football games when it's Drew Locke under center versus somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, Brett Rippon was a fun thing to see, and I'm hoping both Drew and Brett can just kind of be the quarterback battery, if you will, for a long time. Elway had Gary Kubiak as his backup for most of his career, so I think there's something to be said about guys having, you know, backup quarterbacks that they're familiar with and have a good working relationship with. I don't know that Brett profiles as a starting quarterback anywhere, but he's definitely a smart kid and I think can help Drew Lock out. And they like each other coming in the same sort of quote-unquote draft class, even though Brett was an unsigned free agent or an undrafted free agent. They definitely feel better about things with Lock. There's a lot of guys it feels like that feel like Lock has it. Even Chris Harris, who departed this team, said he feels like Lock has what it takes to kind of hold up being a quarterback in this market. But, you know, Locke's still got to get better. He's got to be more accurate. He's got to have a chance to grasp this offense. What's crazy about it is, even though we're, what, coming up on the sixth game, I guess, for the Broncos here, he's still only run this offense for two full games because he started the opener. He started last week. He got hurt in Pittsburgh very early, almost before the end of the first quarter. So he's not run this offense a lot with no preseason games. And you can see that. He stares down receivers a little too much right now. And he's trusting his arm at times more than he should. But I'm hoping in another couple weeks, as they've had some more time together, and hopefully he stays healthy, this offense will start looking the way it's supposed to.
What about the running back situation, Andy, the Chiefs are going to be facing coming up this weekend? Because I thought that would be a strength of the Broncos heading into the year.
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy. I guess on the surface, I'll be honest with you guys, there's some weird thing, and maybe it's not weird, it's just competitors, but Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon aren't pretending like everything is, you know, hugs and kisses in that running back room. Phillip wasn't, you know, thrilled that they gave the contract to Melvin. He wants his money. The fans, frankly, want Phillip to get paid his money. And then he got hurt. Melvin was doing a pretty good job and, frankly, was the strength of their offense for a couple games there. He had a really good game against Pittsburgh. But then he had the stupid incident, you know, last week where he went out, had a little too much to drink, got caught speeding in an area of Denver that is it's not a good area to be speeding in. That could have turned into something disastrous very quickly. So we'll see where that goes from there. But, you know, it's kind of been up and down. Our offensive line doesn't do a lot of things well. The funny thing is last year at this time everybody wanted Garrett Bowles out of town, and this year everybody is thinking maybe we might have to re-sign Garrett Bowles, who's been known for holding. But as you've probably seen, the NFL has decided we're not calling that this year, which frankly is fine with me. So the running game has been hit or miss. It can be a strength of the team. I don't know which version you'll get this week. Phillip was very good in New England last week. But you know what? The Chiefs know the Broncos personnel well, and frankly, their two guards, their guy Dalton Risner, who I think is practiced, we'll see if he plays. He's not been quite what he was a year ago in his rookie year. And Graham Glasgow, who they signed from Detroit, has been good but not great. And they've got a rookie in Cushenberry starting in the middle at center. So we'll just see, guys. I don't know. The run game could be a factor. I'm sorry not to be committed, but you know, it's just kind of been wait and see what we get every week.
Right now we're talking to Andy Lindahl. He covers the Broncos for Altitude 950 in Denver, Colorado. I want to ask you a question about Locke really quickly. We had Ryan Harris on the show, and we asked him what he thought the ceiling was for Drew Locke, and he said Matthew Stafford. So I'll ask you the same thing. What is the ceiling that you see for Denver's quarterback?
Well, I don't think he's going to quite be Patrick Mahomes, right? But I'll give you this analogy, and I put it out there on my radio show. If Mahomes is going to be the Manning, then I hope Locke can at least be the Rivers in the division. And, you know, find things. Maybe, you know, I go to Rivers just because he was a little bit more decorated. Frankly, if you go by winning, maybe he needs to try to be the Alex Smith. I just feel like Drew's got a better skill set physically than Alex Smith. But I think this kid can be the kid that they build around. I think he can be really good. I think he can be at least a top 15 guy, maybe get to top 10. It's going to take some things that maybe I'm not seeing right now to get to top 5, but I think he's a good quarterback prospect. If he can fix throwing off the back foot and falling out of throws the way Jay Cutler does at times, I think he can be really, really good. But there's just times where he just, and then I guess to try to draw a picture in your head, his body is falling away from the throw, and he's leaning more on that back foot and stepping in instead of stepping into things, and it leads to him being a little bit off because he's got a strong enough arm to still fit it in the proper windows, but he's just behind guys, or it's just not quite in the right spot. Like, if you go back to that Brett Rippon throw against the Jets a couple weeks ago where he hit Tim Patrick in the tiniest of windows as Troy Aikman laid out, Drew Lock can't hit those windows if he keeps falling out of throws. I believe he can do it. We just have to see him quit. He's just got to break that habit of falling out of his throw.
That is Andy Lindahl from Altitude 950 joining us on the show today to preview the Denver Broncos. Andy, really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
That is Andy Lindahl joining us today on the show. As he was talking, I wrote this down. It sounds to me, based on what he said and based on what we've seen from Drew Lock, the best case scenario to me for Denver would be being what the Minnesota Vikings are trying to be. You've got the 11th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL, but you find somebody who you think can be a top five running back in the NFL in Dalvin Cook, and then you bring in Mike Zimmer, who is a defensive-minded head coach, and you hope that you can put together a really good defense. To me, that's what Denver's trying to build here. I agree with Andy's assessment on Drew Lock. I don't think that we're ever going to look at him as being a top 10 quarterback in the league, but can he firmly be in that 10 to 15 range the way that Kirk Cousins has? I think that's a possibility for Locke. He obviously needs to continue to develop and has a ways to go to get to that point, but I think that's probably the best case scenario of what Denver's trying to build.
Maybe I've just gotten used to Patrick Mahomes the last couple of years and having the guy at the quarterback position, but it sounds an awful lot like being a Chiefs fan for a long time. Like, not mediocrity, being good is okay. Not that you're ever going to win the Super Bowl or be great or have the best quarterback in the league, but win the division every couple of years, which I don't think the Broncos are going to do for a while. Maybe win 10 or 11 games. Who knows? Maybe even win a playoff game. That's what he described. Like, that's what you're talking about with Minnesota, with Phillip Rivers. That's what he was saying. Cool. And maybe, again, I'm spoiled because I'm a fan of the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, I think that's the reality for about 25 teams in the league. Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, you were in that same place for 30 years.
My life.
I understand that the last 3 years have been different than now you sit. So, like, let's not make it seem like we can't remember what, like, that's the reality for a lot of teams. Like, I look at Drew Lock, I just don't see superstar potential. I look at Mahomes as being the guy. He can be the reason that your team wins playoff games, the reason that you advance. And you would say, because we have this guy on our team, we can win a championship. I just don't think Drew Lock's ever going to be that guy. It doesn't mean you can't win a lot of games with them. I mean, we saw a team up 10 in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Drew Lock has more talent than Jimmy Garoppolo, but are they going to put him in the same situation that Garoppolo? Think about it. Great offensive-minded head coach, elite running game last year, top three offensive line in the NFL, and a top five defense. That's how you can win championships with a subpar quarterback.
Yeah, it's just eventually you get over that. And I don't know how long it's going to take the Broncos, but if they think like we think that Drew Lock is an okay answer, but he's never going to catch Patrick Mahomes and probably never win a Super Bowl, well, then I don't know if I have a better option. Because like you're saying, I understand that almost every team is in that position, especially every team right now, because a guy named Patrick Mahomes lives in the league. But that's just not a great place to be. Like you said, I was there my entire life. And at some point, guess what happened? The Chiefs got sick of Trent Greens and Dave Craigs and Steve Bonos and Alex Smith. Yeah, it was cool. You go out there and win 11 games, sometimes 12. Hell, sometimes 13. You'd be the number one overall seed. But I never had myself convinced they could win a Super Bowl. And then they went out and got Patrick Mahomes and everything changed. So I don't know if it's a great situation to say Drew Lock is in place and he's our quarterback for the next 10 years. And then to follow up that by saying, but I don't think he can win a Super Bowl. I'm glad I'm not a fan of that team.
Coming up next, the biggest question I think the Chiefs have to answer on Sunday against the Broncos. And there's a lot of important games in the NFL this Sunday. We'll preview them. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to you some Levine's locks. I want to play this for you. This is Steve Spagnuolo. He was asked the question, do you feel that you have to raise your level of competition for games in the division?
I think we got to raise the level for all our opponents. I talked a lot in these last two meetings about complacency. I mean, that's our fight right now. I'm not saying that there is any. I'm just saying that you got to fight all the time against that. Going back to what you were talking about, I think Patrick Mahomes said it best. I don't know if it was in one of the team huddles or whatever, but I remember him saying, hey, guys, we got to realize we're going to get everybody's best. And that's what happens when you've had some success. So we expect that every week. I have trust in the defensive guys that there will be no letdown. This is a good offense we're going to face. I just said a little bit earlier, when I turn on the New England game, and I watch how they operated there. They moved the football. I know they kicked field goals, but they're moving the football. They got their quarterback back. They're getting the running backs back. You know, they got the tight end. So they got to feel like they got all their tools and weapons back, and we're certainly going to prepare for that.
That is the defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo, during his media availability. I think the biggest question that the Chiefs have to answer on Sunday against the Broncos is which version of the Kansas City Chiefs that we're going to see. We love to tout all of these big numbers about how they dominate the division, and they are certainly true. Hasn't really been the case so far this season. They have played two games in the division. They played a game on the road against the Chargers. They won that game on a game-winning field goal in overtime. They played another game in the division at home, and they lost to the Las Vegas Raiders. It's which version of the Kansas City Chiefs are we going to see? Are we going to see the Chiefs that take this team seriously? If we do, they should cover pretty easily, and by halftime, you should be able to go do some other things, maybe spend time with the wife and kids. Or are you going to see the Chiefs that sort of sleepwalk through these next 3 weeks because they know they can put together their C-plus effort and still beat these teams? I don't think anybody has the answer to that question. I don't even know if the Chiefs have the answer to that question. I do know this. We're going to see them sleepwalk through one of these next three games that they have. They have Denver, the Jets, and Carolina. I don't know which one it is, but we know this team is not going to play consistently sharp football for the next 3 weeks. They haven't shown us that so far this season. The number one question for the Chiefs in this game is which version are we going to see? If you see Buffalo, Kansas City, they win this game comfortably. If you see Baltimore, Kansas City, you win this game comfortably. If you see Patriots, Chiefs in this one, this is going to be a game for four quarters.
Yeah, and I'm looking at total yards. By the way, those were... I don't want to call Spags a liar because I don't know the man like that, but the bottom four teams in total offense this year, the Lions, the Jets, the Washington football team, the Denver Broncos. So they're not a good offense.
And I mean, last week, though, I do think what Andy had to say, I mean, last week Locke played pretty well. He was back for the first time since the early part of the season, and they were moving the ball up and down the field. They just had three drops in the red zone. Albert O dropped a touchdown catch. Jerry Jeudy dropped a touchdown catch. So I know the box score says they only scored 18 points. They got in the red zone four times and just kept getting field goals there. They were moving the ball against the Patriots pretty soundly, though.
Yeah, but you're right. Like, this is one of those games. There's a reason why the Chiefs are a big-time favorite. Now, I mean, Drew Lock, again, I don't know how good he really was. Would he have a touchdown and a couple of picks or something like that? So we'll see. And this feels like one of those games. If Drew Lock's been really good in his career versus every single opponent, or I should say pretty good, except for the Chiefs. And we saw when he played the Chiefs last year, it's not like he played okay or bad. He played awful. Now he's not a rookie anymore, and now he's seen the Chiefs. But I got bad news for old boy. He's facing a better defense, a more confident defense, and by and large, a healthier defense. So I think you're going to see the same result.
Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly see what happens. Again, these NFL teams love to tell us the importance of the division, and we have gone into two games in the division thinking that the other team couldn't really keep it close, or the Chiefs are so much better, and we said a lot of the exact same things. It went into overtime against the Chargers. They got punched in the mouth by the Raiders. They haven't came out with that urgency in the games in the division. The only team in this division that can beat Kansas City is Kansas City. They came out and gave a D effort against the Chargers for the better part of the game. They came out and got punched in the mouth by the Las Vegas Raiders. So my question to the Chiefs is, are you going to respond? You play good football against Buffalo. You answered the call. You came out there with the mindset of you don't care about the weather. You don't care about the injuries. We want to punch the Buffalo Bills in the mouth. If Kansas City comes with that mindset and wants to punch Denver, I don't know if Denver can punch back, but this Denver team is healthy. They're coming off a really good road win. They've been talking about this nine straight. I mean, a lot of the same emotions that the Raiders had coming into the game. The Broncos are going to share some of those.
Well, the Chiefs punched the Raiders, remember, at the beginning of the game. They were up double digits. They were up 14-3. They were up double digits twice, if I remember. And then the Raiders punched back. That's what surprised them. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing in this game is once at some point we all think that the Chiefs are going to take the lead. When they take the lead, keep going, keep passing, keep Drew Lock on the sidelines and keep putting points on the scoreboard, because that was really the problem by and large versus the Raiders is you didn't see enough of Patrick Mahomes in the second half. When you did, he didn't look like the regular Patrick Mahomes. And then all of a sudden you look up at the scoreboard and the Raiders won the game. So I think it's imperative for the Chiefs these next 3 weeks, like you said, when it's not as easy to get up like it was for Baltimore or New England or Buffalo, some of those name teams of the big name quarterbacks, get the lead early and then keep scoring. Maybe at that point, if Andy wants to take his foot off the gas, then don't do that. I've seen that too many times also. Keep your foot on the gas the entire time. I don't care who the opponent is. Because like you've been saying, these next few weeks, it's the time to get the style points right. Because the Chiefs haven't been as pretty, right? It hasn't been as smooth sailing as we thought it was so far. You know what's a really good chance to do that? When you play the next three teams on the schedule.
And Denver's been really competitive so far this season. Week one against Tennessee, they lost in a game-winning field goal at the very end on Monday Night Football against one of the few undefeated teams left in the NFL. At Pittsburgh in week two, another undefeated team. Drew Lock gets hurt in the first quarter of that game. Jeff Driscoll comes in, and they only lose by five and keep it close. They then went up against Tampa Bay. You're not going to beat Tampa Bay's defense with Jeff Driscoll as your quarterback. You know how I feel about Brady, but that defense is one of the top three in the NFL. You have no chance without your starting quarterback. You played the Jets, you got Lock back, and you beat the Patriots on the road. This Broncos team's competitive. They're not going to be a wild card team. They're not going to be competitive, but this team isn't going to lay down in this game in the division. I don't think Kansas City just goes in and rolls over a healthy Broncos team. I think it's close. The Broncos fight hard in this game, but ultimately the Chiefs just have too much talent for the Broncos.
They're not scary. Like, the Broncos aren't scary at all. Maybe if they had Von Miller, maybe if they were a little bit healthier in the past, you could say, well, look at that defense. Hell, look at that secondary. They got Aqib Talib and Chris Harris. Look at that pass rush they got to Marcus Ware and Von Miller. Look at that running game. They got all those dudes from back in the day. They're just not and we'll check the boxes later on the show. They're not a very scary team. Like, their quarterback doesn't have a lot of experience. Their running game's up and down. Their defense has been porous. I'm not a big believer in their head coach, Vic Fangio. So this is one of those games for the Chiefs to get right, in my opinion.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you some brand spanking new Levine's Locks. But first, it's a big Sunday in the NFL.
Yes, some would even say it's opinion-changing Sunday this weekend. Here are some big games that could shift the way we look at the NFL and these teams particularly. We will start with the biggest game of the NFL weekend, the Titans, who are -1 at Pittsburgh this weekend.
The reason I think that game's so big, whoever wins, depending on what the Chiefs look like, there's a chance whoever wins that game, outsiders start to say that's the best team in the AFC. If you look at the Titans, then you can't knock their resume anymore if you beat the Steelers. And same thing, if the Steelers beat the Titans, you can't look up and down and say, well, you've only beat Jacksonville and the Jets and these bad football teams. These are the last two undefeated teams in the AFC. Again, CDOT, depending on how, let's say, Baltimore, who's got a bye this week, and the Chiefs look this weekend, the winner of the Titans-Steelers game might be considered the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be the only team undefeated left in the NFL, so I agree with you. I do think people are going to start to look at them, especially if it's Tennessee, and that goes to sort of us taking Tennessee more seriously. I think Tennessee's going to win this game. It's basically a pick 'em right now. Vegas has it as a 1-point favorite for Tennessee. You can flip a coin and think that. I think Tennessee's going to win this game. I love the way they're getting the quarterback play from Ryan Tannehill and how he's played so far this season, even dating back to last year with Derrick Henry, who really should be in the MVP conversation, but we just decided that nobody else can win it except quarterbacks in the league. I think their defense is going to play well enough in this, and I still don't really trust Pittsburgh. They haven't really beat a good team so far this year. Roethlisberger, I know the numbers look gaudy, but he can't really challenge teams down the field. I think Tennessee wins this, and we're having a very different conversation about the Titans come Monday.
I like Pittsburgh, but like you said, I think it's going to be a really close game. I think it comes down to the end, and whoever wins, I think everybody's going to look at it and go, damn, that team might actually be a Super Bowl caliber type opponent.
One of the other games that's going to change our opinion this weekend is Jimmy Garoppolo's battle. His current team, the San Francisco 49ers, take on his former team, the New England Patriots. The Patriots are a 2-point favorite in this one, Sean.
Whoever loses this game, I think is, I don't want to say out of it, because with the expanded playoff seed, I think it'd still make it. But as far as winning their division, San Francisco plays in the best division in football. New England's got Buffalo they're already looking up at. So you don't want to fall too far behind those teams. This is a weird game because heading into the season, nobody was talking about New England. Everybody was talking about San Francisco. And right now, both these teams are just playing to keep their head above water.
Yeah, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers have been bit by the injury bug probably more than any other team in the NFL. You look at it, they didn't really have a good win up until last week. Their two wins were against both of the New York teams, and they played those back-to-back road games against the Jets and the Giants. But last week, on a Sunday Night Football game, going out there and beat the Los Angeles Rams, who I do think are going to make the playoffs. Like, this is where I think you got to give Garoppolo, and I think you have to give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit for how they battle. I think that New England's offense is going to be a lot better than they were last week against the Broncos. It really took Cam a long time to get going. I think it's difficult if you're San Francisco to make that East Coast road trip, and now you've made it two times this season. I do think New England ekes this out. I just don't think San Francisco's healthy enough to keep winning these games at this level.
I mean this in all sincerity. If you voluntarily watch this next game, you need help. Like, real, real help. The Dallas Cowboys taking on the Washington football team. Both teams still very alive for the NFC East division. It's currently a pick 'em. Sean, How will this game change your opinion this weekend?
Hey, if Dallas wins, Rob, they're only a game under 500, and they're in the driver's seat in that division. They're 2-4 right now. Even if they lose, they're still okay because that division is literally the worst that I've ever seen. So I hear you. Like, you've certainly got some instability issues if you're actually watching this football game. But if you're like me and you're a gambling degenerate and you put a little bit of money on the unders, I ain't mad at you. But yeah, this game is an ugly one. I bet Dallas wins.
This is from Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Nolan. There have been plays here or there that occur that are very costly plays, but they happen for a reason. We've got to eliminate those plays and keep it to a medium. He then goes on and says, because those are defenses that everybody in the league hasn't played, and in fact, many high school teams also play these kinds of defenses, so it's not that they are too complicated. The Cowboys are pushing in 17 different directions, and now we're starting to see the coordinator talking back to the defense. We're seeing players give anonymous reports to NFL Network. Nobody seems to like the head coach. I can't pick the Cowboys in this game. I think the football team comes out and wins the pick 'em game at home.
Dallas does, when you were describing them, they feel like a lot like the Cleveland Browns last year. Like, it's not a question of talent. It's just a question of, is there an adult in the room? And the answer right now is a resounding no.
That's a job Eric Bieniemy should target whenever McCarthy inevitably gets
fired. I'm switching. C-Dot sold me. I ain't taking Dallas. They suck. Give me the football team.
The football team. Speaking of football, the Carolina Panthers with your boy Teddy Bridgewater, Sean, they are 7-point underdogs this weekend as they head to New Orleans.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if we're talking about what they've actually done so far, you could argue Carolina's a better football team than New Orleans, and we know home field advantage doesn't mean much this year. See, I'm not sure why New Orleans is a touchdown favorite. They're going up against Teddy frickin' Bridgewater. I think Carolina wins this game outright.
Yeah, I think New Orleans is going to win this game, but I'm with you. I think that the spread is way too big in here. I don't even know who's catching passes this weekend for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be out due to COVID protocols. Michael Thomas. I don't even know Michael Thomas plays in the NFL right now, given everything that's happened. I think Carolina has probably skated by a little bit this year, and the schedule sort of been in their favor a little bit, and they've overcome very mediocre quarterback play and not having their best player in Christian McCaffrey. I think the Saints are slightly better than Carolina. I think this is the game in which the Saints win, but Carolina covers.
So if Carolina wins this game, then they'll overtake the Saints for second place in that division, and we'll have to talk about them being an actual playoff team.
We continue on with the battle of pirate teams down in Vegas this weekend, which looks like it's a go as of now. The Bucks are laying 4 points, as they take on the Raiders at the Death Star.
Yeah, this is going to be one where, let's say the Bucks win, we're going to look at them and go, okay, the Bucks are a real team. Tom Brady's the real deal. That's an actual Super Bowl threat in the NFC.
I just want to point out that now you get in that category from beating the Las Vegas Raiders. That puts you in the category. Like, last week, I think the win against the Packers put you in that category. Beating this Raiders team who hasn't had their offensive line at practice this week, that ain't changing how I feel about the Bucks.
It's a body of work is what it is. You take the Packers, then you take the Raiders, and you take the overall record. They'll be 5-2. You look at the division. Everybody else is very mediocre. You remember that one of those two losses came in the first game that Tom Brady played as a Buck. What I'm saying is, I think it's going to change people's opinion if the Bucks win this game from being just a good team to an actual Super Bowl team. And I don't think that anybody's going to consider the Raiders a Super Bowl team in the AFC if they win this game, but certainly a playoff team if they do.
Yeah, I mean, I would say right now, if Vegas wins this game, they are the favorite to be one of the wild card teams in the AFC. I think Vegas has been a lot better than people have given them credit for. I don't know if you can really play a much more difficult first six games of your NFL schedule than the one that Vegas has put together, but it's hard to see Vegas winning with everything that's happened so far this week. One of their best defensive players isn't going to play due to COVID protocols. Their best offensive lineman isn't going to play in this game due to COVID protocols, and they haven't had any continuity at practice. They're going to be able to field a roster, but I don't know if offensively they're going to be able to do it, especially without Trent Brown going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. I think Tampa Bay wins this game.
The final game that could sway our opinion this Sunday, the Cardinals are getting 3.5 points as they head to Seattle to take on the MVP leader, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's going to be a dandy right there. Kyler Murray taking on Russell Wilson. If Arizona wins this game, then they'll catch Seattle at least in the win category. They'll both have 5 wins. Man, I don't know who's going to win that division because you're right about the Rams heading into the season. They're a good team too. You want to talk about another one of those swing games? The Rams take on the Bears. If the Rams win, they're 5-2. If the Bears win, they're 6-1. And we're going to be talking about those teams too. Rob's right. This is an opinion-changing weekend in the NFL.
We haven't really talked about how incredibly average Kyler Murray has been so far this season. He was 9-for-24 for 188 yards passing against the Cowboys defense on Monday. And one of those passes was an 80-yard touchdown pass.
Give me those stats
against
again.
He was 9-for-24 for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Cowboys defense. And one of those passes was for 80 yards. He threw for 133 yards against the Carolina Panthers back in week 3. I don't think we've talked about how incredibly average Kyler Murray has been this season, coming off all the hype that people placed on him in the offseason. Give me Seattle, who I think is one of the 3 best teams in the NFL in Sunday Night Football. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will have another edition of Drive Idol. We have a new Le'Veon Bell song. We have a new Bashaud Breeland song. We ask you who the better rapper is, Breeland or Bell. But before that, let's get some Levine's Locks.
Levine's Locks.
I do believe that Kyler Murray, though, my guy, is like top 5 or 6 in rushing yards. So you can't just forget about those.
No, I'm not. I mean, he's
pretty good when it comes to running.
He had 188 yards passing against the Cowboys defense, which I think right now Trevor Lawrence could just join the Arizona Cardinals and throw for 200.
I didn't know that because all I did was look at the final score because I had my money on Arizona and they destroyed him. So I figured that he played well. That's unbelievable. But before we get to this week's Levine's Locks, which I feel really, really good about, let's take a look back at what happened last week. Baltimore -8 against Philly. Titans -3.5 against the Houston Texans. I know the Texans finally got a win, but we've seen Romeo Crennel get a win in his first game and then not win too many more games. And that KC Buffalo game, 2. I don't know what keeps happening with that line, so don't play it. But play the under. 57.5? I know the Chiefs defense was bad against the Raiders. You're going to see the other Chiefs defense against the Bills.
1-2?
This is the lock of locks of locks, Carrington. This one I feel so great about. Andy Dalton and the Dallas Cowboys are only a 1-point underdog against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
Basically a pick 'em.
It makes no sense to me. Arizona's good. Dallas is bad. Dallas is bad even with Dak, and now they got Dalton. Arizona's going to roll him up like a Snoop Blunt in that game.
Snoop Blunt.
But I think he wins that one by guillotine choke over the Korean Zombie. And those are this week's Levine's Locks, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, where it's at.
So Ortega did beat the Korean Zombie in last Saturday's UFC. So I went 3-2. So that's not too bad. You probably made yourself a little bit of money. I'm shooting for 4-1.
Yo, how many UFC main events do they have? They have another one this week. UFC is always on. It's like pro wrestling. What, they got Raw, SmackDown, next? Like, what? How many times do they have these UFC pay-per-view events?
Hey, and just let me do a solid for the Goodness people gracious. Out there.
I think how many more people are in UFC?
UFC fighters or Joe Buck? Who's working more nowadays?
Dana White.
I don't think a lot of people realize this.
Who cares how hard Satan is working? Dana White's always working 10 times harder.
The fight tomorrow is at 1 o'clock p.m. 1 o'clock p.m. So it's in Abu Dhabi. Obviously, Khabib's fighting, so they want his country to be able to watch in prime time. So if you're going to watch tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you're watching the replay. The fight tomorrow is at 1 o'clock. Here's this week's Levine's Locks. Take the 7 with the Panthers over New Orleans. If you got a big pair of brass, go ahead and play the Panthers on the money line. I think they can win the game. Speaking of the money line, you don't need the 3.5 when you take the Arizona Cardinals over Seattle. Take the Cardinals a +160. At some point, Seattle's going to lose a football game. They keep playing with fire. This is the week they get burned. The game's in Arizona. It's a Sunflower Showdown, K-State versus KU. K-State's a 20.5-point favorite. K-State should probably be a 40.5-point favorite. They'll be up by 30 at halftime. Game's in Manhattan. You'll win that one comfortably. This one is going to be a little bit uncomfortable because it's going to take you to the very end of the game to win your bet. Take the 27.5 points with Nebraska. They're not going to win the game, and it's not going to be close, and they're going to get their asses kicked, but you're going to cover, barely. They're going to lose the game by 27. Cover. They play Ohio State. Big Ten football's back.
That's a dangerous game to play if you think they're going to lose by 27. Very dangerous game to play.
That's a win, though, by a hook. And then in the UFC, I don't know if you know this, but there's a fight tomorrow. Gaethje takes on Khabib and Nurmagomedov. Hear me and hear me loud. Turn your radio up. Khabib's never lost. Some people say he never will. Tomorrow afternoon, Gaethje knocks out Khabib in the first round. That's right. Don't worry about his wrestling. He gets knocked out by Justin Gaethje, the highlight in the first round. And that's this week's Levine's Locks, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino is where it's at.
We need four callers to 913-576-7610. We have a brand new edition of Drive Idol. We will play a Le'Veon Bell song. We will play a Bashaud Breeland song. We'll give you our opinion, and we'll find out who's the better rapper, Bell or Breeland. Stick around. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.